Hey, this is Eddie Green. Welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. This is episode 2 of How to Increase Your Sales for 2019. This time around, instead of talking about the goals and objectives, this is going to be about how you get from point A to point B. It's going to be about the execution and accountability. So raise your seat backs and tray tables back to their upright positions, and let's get ready for takeoff. Because here we go. So episode 2, you've taken and going back to episode 1, we talked about that you come out of the sales meeting, your annual meeting, and you have created this fantastic goal and everybody's pumped up and this is going to be our year. This is going to be the year that we really break through that ceiling and there's going to be substantial attainable growth and everybody's excited. And then all of a sudden, the whirlwind starts. You are living life, chasing every single day, trying to get on top of it. So a day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by, a quarter goes by, and you're hoping that your talent is still staying motivated enough to be able to go out and deliver the results that you need. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Like we talked in the last episode, about 1%. Or less than 1% of salespeople, actually, you can throw a number out there and they'll kill themselves to try to get it. The majority of salespeople have to be stroked or they have to have development, they have to have an execution plan in place, and there has to be a level of accountability. So we're going to talk about that today, about once you leave the war room, what has to happen to ensure that you're going to continue on an upwards path to be able to achieve the numbers that you want to hit. So the first thing that we're going to talk about after you've got that great plan in place is the execution of that plan. Now, I am a firm believer, and you will hear me say this throughout all of the sales podcasts that I do, that if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So that includes the execution portion of what you're going to do. So what are some of the things that we can do for salespeople to ensure that there is execution of the plan? First thing I believe in wholeheartedly is that you should have weekly sales meetings. Now, if you're like me, you hate meetings. I don't necessarily want to sit in a meeting and listen to somebody drone on and on and on about things that I potentially already know, or I get sidetracked and have my squirrel moments and I'm thinking about that I could be out chasing revenue as opposed to listening to this guy blow hard about what needs to happen. So your meetings need to be short, concise, to the point, and they need to be informational. So whenever one of the things that I did with my sales reps is prior to the weekly sales meetings, I made them turn in a weekly agenda that was due to me by Sunday at 8 p.m. And it wasn't just an overview of what they were going to do. It was a very detailed plan for the day and for the week. And here's why. So working in the restoration industry and disaster restoration, we can get our day can change at the drop of a hat. One phone call could be just a simple question. The next phone call could be somebody's building is flooded from the top down. So that's probably, for the most part, not going to take the entirety of your day to be able to go out there and maintain the fact that the client is stable and the production team is getting done and everything's set up and the environment is a stable environment in which to work. So the daily agenda or the weekly agenda allows you to stay focused and disciplined and come back to plan A. So I didn't want to see things like agent day. If it was an agent day, I wanted to know what agents you've chosen to go see and, you know, what you were going to talk to them about. And those were the things that we were going to discuss in the weekly sales meeting. So in the weekly sales meeting, it was going to be like, tell me what you've got planned out for the week. Tell me about your successes from the previous week, your challenges from the previous week, and where are we at in relation to goal? So I typically, with about 7 to 8 sales reps, would have them out of the office, which I actually held my sales meetings away from the office so that we could all be dialed in and focused and the office wasn't pulling us in different directions. So we would typically have those no longer than 45 minutes, but our goal was between 30 and 45 to get out on the road. And with 7 to 8 reps, that was, you know, it sometimes could be a challenge, all depending upon, you know, what all they had to voice, but that's okay. If they needed to spend some additional time, then it was additional time as a team. And a lot of times we would do them as peer-led meetings so that we could share best practices and hopefully be able to rectify some of the weaknesses that people had been facing. The second thing in execution is definitely reporting. I wanted a sales rep to take complete ownership of their territory or of what they were out trying to execute. So they should know the number that they had sold. They should know what their close rate was. Like for us, you know, we had commercial and residential sales. You know, what was the percentage of each? What status were the jobs in? Had they been invoiced? Had they been paid? You know, things like that. So I wanted them to take complete ownership of what they did, and reporting was part of that. So at any given time, I could call them and say, hey, what's your number? And they'd be able to tell me all those analytics, and it helped me to know that they were invested in what it was that they were doing. So the next thing is route completion, and you're going to, you know, if you're a tried and true sales professional, I don't necessarily believe in routes, but I think routes can be beneficial when you're new, because your revenue channel really hasn't opened up. It provides you with a lot of discipline to be able to stay the course. And the reason that I say route completion is I go out and do consulting all over the country, and inevitably I'll be doing a ride with one of these sales reps, and they won't have necessarily appointments scheduled, but they'll drive to point A, and then they will drive again for another quote-unquote cold call to point B. And it's like a 25-minute drive in between these stops, yet they've left 50 opportunities in between points A and B. Makes zero logical sense to me. If you're looking at territory saturation, say, for example, you were out prospecting for to do business with a property management company, you walk out the front door, across the street is a bank, a restaurant, a hospital. You've got a doctor's office, you've got all kinds of opportunities that are right there in front of you, and you just walked right past them, drove right past them to get to the next point. So that's about working smart and not hard. And so when you're looking at quote unquote route completion, you want to take and make sure that they're managing their time effectively, that they're saturating areas before leaving them. Secondly, on that route completion, you want to look at how much time are they spending per stop. When they walk in someplace, if you see that they, if especially if you're blessed enough to have GPS and you see that they killed their car at 10:02 a.m. and by 10:08 a.m. they were back in it and driving to another place, there could be several things that you could take from that. Either A, they weren't the COI, the center of influence was not there. B, they weren't able to get past the gatekeeper. C, they're just walking in and handing a business card and expecting results. That's something that we can do, that we can figure out when you get into another part of the execution, which is role play versus ride with on your reps. Role play can be beneficial, and I'll give you an example. It's not a real world scenario. For the most part, it's canned, so sometimes people are too aggressive or not aggressive enough. It's just not real world. So, but where role play can be beneficial is, say, for example, they had a closing meeting scheduled, and they're going to go out and they feel really good that they're going to land this relationship, and it just doesn't go the way that they thought that it should have. They come out pretty defeated. Majority of salespeople can shrug off negativity and rejection, but there's a lot of people that can't. It sticks with them, and who's going to pay for that? Well, the people on the next end of the call and the call after and the call after are going to reap the rewards of that negativity, and we don't want that. So instruct your sales reps to say, look, if it didn't go quite the way that you thought that it should have, give me a call and let's role play the scenario back. What that's going to do is, A, it proves to them that you care and that you're invested in their success. Two is that whenever they do role play it, they might be able to see things differently whenever they play it back, or you're going to catch things that maybe they closed too soon. Maybe it was a situation that they didn't create enough interest. Maybe they were just kind of all over the place whenever they role play it back. Now, here's where the ride with is beneficial. That's every one, you're going to get the best out of your rep because they're putting on a dog and pony show for you. So they're going to give their very best effort. But number two, you do get to see how they interact in a very real world scenario. And a lot of times you have the ability to be able to jump in and save some things by just doing a little bit of redirection or an oh, by the way, and you can get that redirected for that sales rep. But two, you can start giving immediate feedback the minute that you walk out and are out of earshot of the client. So ride withs, I think, are incredibly effective. And then second, the last thing is going to be training and best practices. I always wanted to schedule a quarterly training that we was going to be peer led based on my team's strengths and weaknesses. So I would lead off and then I would have them each take a portion of the training and they would talk about how they were having successes. And we saw a tremendous amount of success as a team by being able to get in there and do that. So that's some of your execution steps that you can do. It's going to be very time consuming, but it should be. You should be investing time in your reps to ensure that they are the very best that they can be because they do want direction and they do want to continue to learn. So once you put execution steps in place for your plan of how you're going to grow your revenue, the next step is accountability. So everybody needs to be held accountable. We need to understand that we don't just have a number and it's not a suggestion, but you know that there could be potential ramifications by not achieving those numbers. And what it does is it keeps everybody sharp. So the first thing is going to be your jobs sold versus your goals. You know, take a look at, you know, how much we talked about breaking goals down, you know, how much do they need per job in order to be able to attain that goal at the end of the year. So make sure that you're staying in contact with it. It doesn't have to be weekly. It could be monthly or even quarterly, just as long as they have the ability to correct the result. So don't do it like biannually and say, okay, well, in the first 6 months, you only achieved 1/10 of what you were supposed to. So I need the other 9/10 to come in the last half of the year. Well, that could happen. They could land one big account, have one big sale, and it could completely change the face of the game for them. But that's not realistic. So we want to ensure that we're, again, eating that elephant one bite at a time and continuing to chew that bite. So secondly, you're going to make sure that you're doing reporting, lots of reporting that has black and white analytics that they can look about where they're having success and where they could have improvement. I don't necessarily use the word failure unless it ends up being a situation that it looks like it is something that they're doing deliberately. You know, they've been coached on it multiple times and they choose to ignore the coaching and they're doing it deliberately. Case in point, I had a guy that we had counseled multiple times from his GPS report that 2 to 3 times a week he'd be parked outside of a bar in a branded vehicle and he just refused to take that coaching and ended up we had to have a very different conversation about his future employment plans. Those are not the scenarios we want. We want to invest in our people and make them as successful as possible, but we all have those bad apples from time to time. So reporting is a great black and white tool that just is irrefutable. The numbers don't lie. So the next thing that you do is whatever CRM tool they're using, you definitely want to make sure that you're doing audits. And the reason being is because most people think that a CRM tool is there as a micromanagement tool. And it's not. It's there specifically for the sales rep. They meet hundreds, if not thousands, of people throughout the year. So to remember what you talked to each of these people about each and every time is a near impossibility. And so these audits, the notes should be as such as that if they were to leave the organization or if you're just reading these notes as in leadership, that you understand that every single little nuance about this account and could pick up right where they left off. So documentation should be as such. Their sales reporting should be in there. Any marketing activities that they're doing. So just make sure you're auditing the CRM tool. I also, too, like to go back behind them every once in a while and just go do some follow-up face-to-face with their clients. Sometimes you can get people that do a lot. They work hard. They're meeting a lot of people, but they're not memorable. And it's a good coaching opportunity to make sure that the person is memorable. So case in point, I followed up behind a guy that was dedicated just strictly to insurance agents and found out he was just leaving his cards, and that was pretty much it. They didn't even know who he was. They didn't know his name. They just knew the company that he worked for, but nothing memorable about the guy at all. So it was a great coaching opportunity. Also, too, you know, if you have any type of groups, whether the networking groups like Gold Star, BNI, or some of those things, or you're involved in professional organizations, you know, like risk and insurance managers or things like that, make sure that you're being strategic with those groups. And also, too, that you're involving yourself as much as humanly possible. You're on committees, you're on boards, you are assisting with their growth, volunteering at every opportunity you possibly could. If your team has a marketing budget, make sure that the money that they're spending, that they're seeing their return on investment. Make sure that when they do take a client to lunch, that at the end of that lunch, they're asking for the business, that it's not just a free lunch. So really track their marketing budget versus their return on investment. And then the last thing from accountability is GPS tracking. If your company uses GPS in the vehicles, it's a great tool, again, not to micromanage, but just to evaluate the time that they're spending at stops, seeing how much windshield time they're actually doing when they're potentially leaving opportunities in between point A and point B, and, you know, that they're not cutting their day short and going home at noon and staying at home and things like that. So, guys, I hope that this ends up helping you out. It's a lot of information in a very short amount of time. If you should ever have any questions, don't hesitate to email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. Again, we're hoping that you and your organization have the greatest sales year that you've had to date. And remember, if you need anything at all, don't hesitate to ask, because if you don't ask, we can't help. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.